From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Supreme Court early Wednesday morning handed down a third major defeat for liberal and progressive values in a 5-4 ruling in favor of Mark Janus. The case centered on the ability of public sector unions to charge dues for the members they serve. It comes a day after the nation's highest court handed Donald Trump two wins, an affirmation of his Muslim ban and a win for so-called pregnancy centers that fool abortion seekers. Also on Wednesday, conservative Justice Anthony Kennedy, who sided with the four other conservatives on all three rulings this week, announced his retirement, giving President Trump the chance to pick a second Supreme Court nominee. What does the Janus win mean for unions? Joining us to help answer that question is Jean Ross, co-president of National Nurses United. Welcome to the program, Jean.
Thank you.
So it wasn't a surprise. Many of us, I'm sure you as well, expected this defeat in the long lead up over the months since the hearings were first held. People expected that this court would side against unions. What do you make of the ruling?
Well, as you said, we were expecting it considering what's going on in the country right now. But it's really devastating, and not so much for unions, although it is. It's actually going to work to the detriment of public safety from the perspective of the nurses. Right now, with a union contract, you are able to speak up against your employer when they do things that put the public in danger, like short staffing and our working conditions that make it unsafe for us and patients. And without that power, that kind of leaves us a bit adrift.
How many nurses work in the public sector? National Nurses United is a very large union. How many members could be impacted by this ruling?
Well, I will say probably about 20, 22,000 maybe. But we are not fooled. Right now, they are attacking public unions. Soon it will be private ones, too, because we stand between them and what they would like to do.
How can this ruling impact private ones? Do you expect a second lawsuit on the heels of this one?
Well, it wouldn't surprise us, no, would it? Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing the public has to rely on and has been able to rely on for years is unions being able to stand up for basic rights. And if the more you decrease our power, the less able, the less likely we are to be able to do that.
Now, what do you make of the idea that that the Supreme Court used, which is that the dues that unions charge members violate the First Amendment? I mean, we've talked about this on our program before, but now we have in writing the court's ruling, the court's opinion, spelling out why a union that works on behalf of its members to deliver very important pro-worker gains shouldn't be able to charge dues. Why that's considered a violation of the First Amendment?
Well, it's not really. I totally disagree with their premise. If you want to talk about public unions, anything that you would have, what we would consider a right to talk about the workplace is going to be public. And the only place you really truly have free speech in the workplace is if you have a union.
So the fact that these are government employees, that is that we're talking about here, that's the First Amendment basis that the court is ruling?
Well, what they really want, I mean, that's what they say. We know that their true goal is always masked by what they say. They don't really care about free speech for us, for those of us that work for a living. So what you're going to say is it violates their free speech rights. But truthfully, what it ends up doing is making the rest of the workers pay for the benefits for those employees who choose not to. And those employees will say, you know, it's because I don't want you to vote for the union to put money toward a certain candidates, because that's the real goal, is to take money out of our coffers, because we would vote for people who would do the most good. for the collective whole. So it interferes with that. That's what the real goal is. The law has said for years before this decision that even though you don't want to be a member of that particular union, you must pay for the cost the union incurs to enforce the rights of those members. Now you're telling some people, no, you don't have to do that. The rest will pay for you.
And in fact, Donald Trump, who saw this as yet another win from the Supreme Court, tweeted triumphantly on Wednesday, a big loss for the coffers of the Democrats, making really clear what this was, you know, why this was there all along. And I want to get in a minute to the fact that, of course, Neil Gorsuch's vote was a direct result of Republican hindering of President Barack Obama's right to nominate a replacement for Antonin Scalia. But just staying on the Janus ruling for a minute, I want to quote Justice Elena Kagan, who said, in her dissent, there is no sugarcoating today's opinion. The majority overthrows a decision entrenched in this nation's law and in its economic life for over 40 years. As a result, she said, it prevents the American people acting through their state and local officials from making important choices about workplace governance, and it does so by weaponizing the First Amendment in a way that unleashes judges now and in the future to intervene in economic and regulatory policy. What does that mean, Jean Ross, when she says that it unleashes judges to intervene in economic and regulatory policy?
Well, I think she's probably talking about just what we said earlier. The real goal is the voting populace and to take money away from unions who usually give to the Democratic Party so that, in essence, even though the majority of us feel the way that we do, not just unions, but the public, the minority will be making the decisions.
And of course, it's very clear that unions keep separate their bargaining, collective bargaining work that the union dues fund and the political organizing that the unions do. Isn't it already the case that individual members can ask for a refund of those parts of their union dues that might go towards political campaigning?
Yes, this fee that people who choose not to be members were paying, it was set up exactly like that. So money did not go to any political causes, but it just paid for the representation fees for collective bargaining, for your contract, for filing grievances, that type of thing.
Jean, isn't it very clear that we see a stark difference in the working conditions of those people who are in unions compared to those people who are not in unions?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of statistics you can look up that show that. And it's, as I mentioned before, what we talked about with your ability to stand up and at the job, on the shop floor, for us nurses in hospitals and clinics. It's our ability to speak up and say to the employer no when we need to, especially when they do things like closing clinics and hospitals. Those are public facilities often, and we need to be able to do things like that without being retaliated against.
Right. So when you're in a union, you can actually speak up about workplace issues and be protected from retaliatory measures because your union position protects you. You can't be fired usually without cause. Now, some have argued that by decimating union power, which would eventually lead to a weakening of unions, one of the inadvertent results of the Supreme Court ruling could be that we might see more strikes and that unions essentially sort of gave up their power to strike when they, you know, in the past, when they've agreed to the kinds of collective bargaining rules and regulations. And now we may end up seeing, like we did many, many decades ago in the US, far more strikes than we did before. Do you think that could be an outcome?
I think that's a likely possibility. There are, you know, we're not going to stop fighting just because of this ruling. If you look at the recent strikes by the teachers, I believe that was not, they didn't have collective bargaining, but they did it. They did it to protect themselves and their students in the community.
These were teachers in Oklahoma, West Virginia, that's right, that had massive strikes, one-day strikes, rolling strikes, but still really powerful militant actions just a few months ago.
People feel very strongly about their responsibility to protect the public.
Let's talk about the fact that Justice Anthony Kennedy has just announced his retirement. He announced it on Wednesday, hours after he joined the conservative, four other conservative justices in handing Trump a third victory this week. I was just kind of disgusted by the fact that, you know, these were his last three rulings. And in all three of them, he took very cowardly positions. He has sometimes sided with the liberals, but in these last three, what could be, end up being the last three major rulings of his career, so strongly threw his weight behind conservatives, behind Trump, and now announced his retirement right when Trump is going to, before the midterm elections, be able to nominate with the backing of his party a second Supreme Court justice. Are you upset, as upset as I am, about this Kennedy retirement?
Oh, yes. I mean, he let us and the majority of the country down. He really did. That's something to think about in his retirement. I hope he does. But we're not going to keep from fighting on. We are going to continue to exhort our leaders, our elected leaders, to push back on this. You know, there is a wonderful bill that Bernie Sanders put forward, Workplace Democracy Act, and that is what we should be fighting for instead of taking away rights that people have had for decades.
Jean, the National Nurses United in the Democratic primary of 2016 boldly threw its weight behind Senator Bernie Sanders, joined him in his calls for Medicare for all, and broke with other unions who have traditionally supported the establishment wing of the Democratic Party. And I'm wondering if you think that when organized labor decided to essentially sell out, if you will, to speak openly, to the Democratic Party, to the establishment wing of the Democratic Party, they tied themselves to that party in a way that left them little independence and also just made them huge targets of the Republican Party.
Well, I will say this. We work continuously with our sisters and brothers in the labor movement to support candidates like Bernie Sanders and to convince them that that's the way to go. Our union in particular has never been tied to a particular party. We do what's best for people, for our members, patients, and families. We really feel we are in charge of the public health, and we try to behave that way. So we don't always agree in the labor movement with what we should do, but our union will continue to do that and to try to convince the rest to do the same.
What is the next step on this issue of the public sector unions and the dues that they will likely lose? You mentioned the Workplace Democracy Act that Sanders has endorsed. Is the legislative route the only route now left to try to preserve the power of public sector unions?
Well, I don't think we would do very well if we relied just on the legislative route, but that is part of it. People will complain, people will rise up, and friends of ours will help us too. So there will be a battle. Our coffers are going to be diminished. We know that. We've been looking at that for some time now, as we suspected the decision would be what it was on Wednesday. So I guess we'll have multi-tiered attacks, but the Workplace Democracy Act is one thing that everybody should be fighting for.
What do you, what will this ruling, if it stands, you know, if it isn't challenged legislatively, what could it mean in the long term for unions, both public sector and private sector unions? We have seen a crisis in unionization and in union power, unions' political power, for a long time now. There's, you know, smaller and smaller sector of the workers that are unionized. The rise of the gig economy has also undermined that. The over-reliance on part-time workers, independent contractors, and we just see a continual breaking down of union power in this country. And it seems as though, unfortunately, the Supreme Court ruling adds to that.
It does, but I will tell you, sometimes it takes a tipping point. We have always and will continue to. Now is a really good time. We organize, even in right-to-work states. We encourage people to join a union anytime you have the possibility of doing so, not just nurses. And when people, sometimes when you push people too far, those are the times that they will rise up and the balance will shift. So again, people should join a union.
On the nurses front, you mentioned about 22 or so thousand nurses that are directly affected by this ruling in the public sector. So these are nurses who work at public hospitals nationwide. Are you worried that you're going to see nurses now saying, I'm not paying dues to NNU anymore because, you know, I just don't want to, and I want to be able to keep more of my paycheck, whether or not those nurses even agree that it's important to fund unions?
Well, we've done a lot of work educating our members, and we'll continue to do that. There will be a few, there will always be a few, but particularly nurses understand the good of the whole. So we may not see as many defectors as other unions might, and we will help those unions too. But I think our members are pretty well educated, will continue to do that, and they understand the benefits of working together and paying so that we can do that.
And in fact, that's a really good point. It seems as though one of the most important things that unions can do right now in the wake of this ruling is to educate its members about exactly where their union dues go, what those dues enable, how they can opt out of, if they want, the part of their dues that go towards political campaigning. So the public education of union membership may be critical in just appealing to the common sense of union workers.
Correct. We think so.
You mentioned right to work. I want to sort of discuss very briefly this idea that that essentially we've had these so-called right to work laws in state after state, something like 20, nearly 30 states now. The term right to work, of course, being extremely deceptive. It's sort of the opposite almost of that. What could this Supreme Court ruling, what sort of impact could it have on right to work, on the right to work movement? Does it now essentially, for the public sector, impose those same right to work rules nationwide?
Well, certainly part of it. But again, even with that misnomer, right to work, we have been educating members for some time now. Most of our members clearly understand what that means, and they know the statistics about how poorly a state does in comparison to others who do not have right to work laws. So our members are not ignorant, and I'm assuming other unions are doing the same.
Jean, what's a good website for people to find out more about the work that you do, as well as about the efforts to beat back right to work to pass the Workplace Democracy Act?
You can go to nationalnursesunited.org, and from there you can click on any number of the things that we do to look out for the public's health. So you'll find the Robin Hood tax, you'll find our fight for Medicare for all, any number of things.
And that is nationalnursesunited.org. We will post a link to that from our website. Jean, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Jean Ross. She is the co-president of National Nurses United. We've been discussing the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Mark Janus against public sector unions, as well as the announcement of Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.